Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And as always, on this 13th day of May, it is a good day, and it is a great word. God is moving. He's moving. Moving in our hearts, minds, and spirits. And all I can say is thank you, Father God, for all that you have done for your children. Yes, there's so much turmoil going on. I pray for Israel and Palestine, for both, because it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. It's a horrific thing going on over there. And all we can do is pray. Pray for the Palestinians, Israelis, who feel attacked. Pray that God would give them peace, because they are brothers and sisters. They are brothers and sisters. And we need to understand. Folks just get tired. I'm sure they are tired of war. I'm sure they are tired of the destruction of property and people dying, including children. Fortunately, all we can do is pray over here. We have to pray. And all you know, my bucket list trip is to go to Israel. But of course, it's not going to happen anytime soon until they settle down. And all we, again, can do is pray. Because understand that the Israel we talk about today is not the Israel of yesterday. It's not the Israel we read about in this Old Testament. The Israel of today was created in 1948. Actually, tomorrow is their anniversary. It says on May 14th, 1948, David Ben-Gurion, the head of the Jewish Agency, proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel. President Harry Truman recognized the new nation on the same day. We are looking at a newly established nation, only established in 1948. On tomorrow is their anniversary establishment of Israel of today. And please forgive me. Sometimes we just don't get enough sleep, y'all. But I know that God is working. So I would suggest for everyone who gets all hot and bothered about what's going on in Israel to look at the history of the newly established Israel in 1948. Read the story. Go watch the documentaries. And then you can talk about everything else. And the folks living in Gaza and in other areas, that they're terrorists and that they're this and that they're that. But understanding, most of them, many of them, were there already when the newly established state of Israel came into being, country of Israel came into being. And they were displaced and moved out of their homes and told that they were Arabs, so they couldn't stay where they were and had been for thousands of years. And many of them that have been displaced, if you do DNA, will find out that they're related. So we need to stop all this crazy and staring the bucket of hatred against the Palestinians, as well as those that are staring hatred against Israel. We are blessed in our nations to have been established. We are blessed. We are not at war in America. Because what if the people on the reservations, the Native Americans who were here when people came in boats and decided to take over their land and treat them like second class, third class, fourth class citizens? How do they feel? So we need to stop giving our opinion on hating someone because of their faith. We got to love each other. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And watch God work. And again, I say this. The nation of Israel was established by man in 1948. And whatever is happening is the will of God. And all we can do is pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you today praying for peace in your homeland, praying for peace in Israel, praying for peace in Palestine, praying for peace in the region, Lord God, that your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray that you may heal the land, Lord God. You have brother fighting brother, sister fighting sister. Families divided by checkpoints and walls. Father God, I pray for Israel today that they will have peace, that the bombing will stop, and that not one more child will die. Not one more woman will be widowed. Father, I pray for your land. I pray, oh God, that you protect. You protect children. Lord, as I lift up the nation of Israel, I lift up the word. May it be a word that touches hearts, minds, and spirits. May it be a word that brings peace to a mind and a heart. May it be a word that shows your majesty and greatness. For you are good. You are better than good, Father God. You are great and greatly to be praised. And Lord, I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, knowing that our Savior is in charge of all things. Lord God, I ask your blessings over all of our households that are listening now and listening later. I ask your blessings over this nation that I live in, that is also in turmoil, Lord God. I pray for America. I pray for our legislators, president. And I pray, Lord God, that you will heal this land. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you and ask you, Father God, to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and my Redeemer. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, I pray, believing and trusting that your word is true and that you are increasing as I am decreasing. Amen. And forgive my voice this morning. Going through one of those times where the word must gonna be real, real good. So just asking you to please keep me lifted, because I never know what causes it. It just happens. It'll be straight like now, and then it could go crazy in a moment. But I trust God that this word will go forth in excellence. Thanking him again for the word today. And so for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, the Signature Series, New King James Version. And I love it, the gold standard, and it just says this, growing in knowledge and understanding of God through his word is guaranteed for life. This word is guaranteed for life. So when I go into the word and I say this is a life lesson, or a life question, or a life example, those are from Dr. Stanley, life principles. They're from Dr. Stanley, and what they are just enhancements of the lesson to explain it a little bit better so that we understand it better. So let's get started in our word this morning. And this morning we are coming out of still 1 Samuel, and we are in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And I will be starting with verse number 1 to verse 25. We will also be in Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs 16, verse 6, and John chapter 3, verse 1 through 18. And we know John chapter 3 is a powerful, powerful, powerful chapter in the Bible. And I am excited because we are going to get a lot of great word this morning. And our title for today is simply this, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That song, I think it's Stephen Hurd sings that song, Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I. If you ever listen to Stephen Hurd, most of his words are biblically enhanced, and they come from the Bible. They're scriptural. And they are beautiful because you're listening to Psalms, you know, Revelations. You know, he has such beautiful work. In words. So definitely, if you get a chance, listen to Stephen Hurd. But the title today is Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I. And 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 1. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you, your men. So David said to Achish, surely you know that your servant can do what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his city. In his own city. And Saul had put the Medians and the spiritualists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped in Gibeah. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire. Said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endora. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went and two men with him.
And they came to the woman at by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the Medians and the spiritless from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this matter. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy, and the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me? For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath, upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the word of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice. And I have put my life in my hands and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now, therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and stood on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and melted it and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Now, the Lord has already told us that we don't mess around with Medians. We don't mess around with folks calling on the dead, because you are opening doors and windows that you may not be able to close. You know, you have these kids that just like just giggles, messing around with Ouija boards. That's a cult. You don't mess with that stuff. You don't mess with Torah cards. You don't mess around in where you don't know what you're doing. You don't go out there seeking, you know, to go into places that you have no business, going to psychics and mediums and all that stuff. That is not of God. And you have to be careful that folks, quote unquote, calling themselves prophets are not psychics and mediums, disguised as prophets, because to get their foot in the door of God, in the house of God, you've got to be careful. You got to ask for discernment of the person, of the spirit. Don't just go walking willy-nilly in the places you have no business. Again, you may be opening doors you cannot close. You wonder why some people's homes have spirits and things going on, because they've opened doors they can't close.
You got to know how to bind and rebuke and get things out of your home. You know, we all have things that we need to get the heck out of our houses. Spirits that just come in and linger. You get your house clean and back in order, and here they come again. And they say worse than the last, and that is the truth. You know, you got clutter bugs. I call them clutter spirits. You have your house all decent and in order, and then here comes the clutter spirit to mess it up again. We got to start binding those spirits of everything. Spirit of tardy, spirit of lateness, spirit of clutters, spirits of all things that are not of God, we got to bind and rebuke in the name of Jesus. You got to put some stuff out of your house. You got to open doors and windows and say, oh, y'all got to go. You ain't got to go, but you got to get out of here. Darkness, you got to get out of here. Strife, you got to get out of here. Whatever it is that's bugging you, you tell that spirit, get out of my house. Wherever you may be, you got to start binding spirits. Because, folks, those spirits will attack your heart, your mind, and your soul. Make you angry. Make you depressed. Pull you down into the doldrums where you just don't want to even get out of bed. We better pray. We got to pray. Saul was dibbling and dabbling where he had no business. And Samuel didn't play in life, so you know he wasn't playing in death. And this is the word, life lesson, 28 verse 7. Find me a woman who is a Midian. Once more Saul allowed his fear, there we go, to spur him on to foolish and wicked choice. If we do not deal with our fear by bringing it to the Lord, it will eventually crush us. No fear, just faith. You know, I was listening to that song on yesterday. I'm working on a sermon for next Sunday. And I just, that fear faith keeps coming into my spirit. And I look at Saul, he walked in fear. And he was God's anointed. He didn't have anything to fear because of who he was. He did walk in fear. We cannot walk in fear. We have to walk in faith. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 10, life lesson. As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. By this point in the story, Saul is an absolute mess spiritually. He even swears by the Lord not to do what the Lord has commanded in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, which is to kill these people. And I'm going to go to Leviticus real quick, chapter 27. Read it because it's important to understand when we talk about Saul, what he's doing and how he's just totally going against God's word and what God has said to do. He is like, he's like a ship without a sail. And I mean, that's just the only thing I can say for Saul. He is a ship without a sail. And we're going to go actually back to verse 22, and it says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out, and you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from peoples that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a Midian or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. What did he say? That the Midians should be stoned to death. Familiar spirits, you know, folks coming in
with spirits all over them, trying to get into the church right now. We better be careful. Watch as well as pray. And this is what it says: our profession of faith will never substitute for genuine, obedient faith. We've got to be faithful to God, and we've got to show it. 28 verse 19, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. Samuel had not meddled even in death. I said that, didn't I? He still proclaimed the same uncompromising message that he delivered while alive, and God still fulfilled his words. His words is a rock on which we can build our entire lives. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, don't mess with God's people. And to call Samuel up, come on now. Saul messed up. He messed up. Messed up. Saying don't mess with God and don't mess with his prophet. Alive or dead, they are close to God. And Samuel didn't miss words. He didn't miss words in life, and he definitely didn't miss words in death. And now Saul, again, still in fear, always in fear. In fear of David, in fear of this, in fear of that. Don't want to listen to the word of God. Don't want to listen to the man of God walking in fear. And this is what it says to the chief musician on a string instrument, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. Oh, I love that word. You know, we're going to finish out Psalm 61 as we continue. Because it's just that word that just takes you to that place of love. And it just does something to your spirit. It says, for you, O God, have heard my vows. God hears us. And he knows our name. He knows everything about us. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. David is praying. David is a constant prayer warrior. David does not play. Continual basis. When my heart is overwhelmed, I love this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Saul was trying to get to the rock higher than him, but he had already messed up. And unfortunately, he couldn't clean up. And I love this, what Dr. Santa says, no matter where in the world we travel, no matter what challenges face us, the rock of God goes before us, inviting us to hand our troubles, emotions to him. If we will just look up, he will be there. Just look up. He will be there. Hallelujah. Lead me to the rock. Oh God, that is higher than I. It is you. Father God, that is higher. And I, whew, hallelujah, lead me to the rock of your salvation, the rock of my salvation, who is your son. We are so blessed to be children of God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. The Lord. One departs from evil. We got to fear the Lord God. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, excuse me, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful word. We got to believe in the Son of God. We got to believe in our Savior. As we continue in John chapter 3, verse 19 through 36, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. After these things, Jesus said to his disciples, to the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all.
He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and is given all things to his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow. Wow. I told you it was an awesome word. Some life lessons from John chapter 3 this morning. And the first is this. Nicodemus, unclean but unblemished. John 3, 1 through 18. It says, this is a life example from Dr. Stanley, and it says, it all started at night when Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, came to light. Nicodemus makes three appearances in the Bible, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, John 7, 5 through 52, John 19, 39 through 42. And by the third time, we see that the seed Jesus planted by night blossoms in the light of a gloomy day. Nicodemus assisted in retrieving Jesus' body from the cross and preparing it for burial. According to his old way of life, Nicodemus became unclean, but in his new eternal life, he was unblemished. Today, Nicodemus is still that we learn from him that Jesus is always there for us night or day. We learn that in God's perfect timing, he will answer our most confounding questions. We learn that regardless of our state status, nothing is more important than the life of Christ within us. And we learn that no matter how great our sacrifice, it can never compare to Christ's sacrifice. Life lessons, John 3:17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why Jesus says that all judgment has been committed to him. He insists that he did not come to earth to judge us, but to save us. As James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Those who place their faith in Jesus will never be condemned because Jesus has already taken their punishment upon himself. But those who reject Jesus as Savior must bear the full penalty of their sins. Woo! What a word this morning. What a word. 36, life lesson. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. God loves the world in the sense that he provided a sufficient sacrifice to atone for its sin in the person of his Son. But those who turn from God's love chooses his wrath instead. Let us this morning, family, turn to God's love, because God loves us so much that he gave his Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. Blessed be the name of the Most High God, who causes us to triumph in his name. That is all I have for this morning. It was a short lesson. Tomorrow we will be in the Old Testament. We will be in Samuel again tomorrow, and we will stay in the Old Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. And then on Sunday, we will be back in the New Testament. So thank you so much, family, for listening. If anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone. If you are not dialed in, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. And your line will be opened. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. And our word again this morning is simply this:
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we know that rock is Jesus. We know that rock is our Father God. We know that rock is higher than high. Hallelujah. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is this. Good morning. God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Have a thankful Thursday, family. Have a thankful Thursday. For God so loved this world, Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank God this morning for everlasting life. We thank God this morning for his magnificent word. We thank God this morning for making us think. In the name of Christ Jesus, I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Remember to keep your eyes stayed on Jesus, for he is absolute. He is the rock that is higher than high. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I thank each and every one of you, family, for joining me this morning for this awesome and magnificent word. Please keep me in your prayers. You know, the enemy attacks, and he always attacks my voice. But I know that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly well all things that I ask or seek, which is just to have a clean heart, a righteous spirit within me, and for the Lord to give me the voice to speak and teach his word, not mine. I thank God this morning for each and every one of you. Ask him to keep you covered in the blood of Jesus. And again, I thank you for listening in this morning. Whether you're listening live or you is listening later, I thank God for you. And ask him to give his angels a mercy charge over you. Thank you so much for listening in, family. I got to get ready for work, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, and thank you again. And may God's word permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. Be blessed, and join me, God willing, in the morning, 7 a.m., as we study, continue our study of 1 Samuel. And we will be on tomorrow in 1 Samuel, chapters 29 through 31. And I believe we may be going a little further than that. 1 Samuel, chapter 1 through chapter 26. Oh, actually, finish it off, 1 Samuel, on tomorrow and going into 2 Samuel tomorrow. So we will be in 1 Samuel chapter 29 to 31, because 31 is the last chapter of the book, and going into 2 Samuel chapter 1 also on tomorrow. So we will be in 1 and 2 Samuel tomorrow. So thank you so much. God bless you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. The voice is starting to try to come back, but that's all right. It's after the vlog, but it's all right because I know that God is with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for your prayers. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the word of God. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap.